This time on Weather Brains, some cool fall weather coming to Alabama in the short term.
Scattered frost on the pumpkin for the first time this year.
James Spann shares some longer-term winter thoughts.
We are statistically overdue for an ice storm here.
Also this time, scandal when James fires up the Gulf Shores webcam ahead of the annual shrimp festival.
And what did James Spann focus on? The corn dog stand, for gosh sakes. Yes, at a shrimp festival.
Plus, the Mount Cheeha Weather Geeks annual picnic. J.B. Elliott and Brian Peters were there.
They had so much food that only a third of it at the most was eaten.
And a Weather Brains Extra. We take you to a very special spot in the Northeast U.S.
It's home to some of the most extreme weather that you'll find anywhere on the planet.
They had to go out and de-ice the instruments in about 180-mile-an-hour winds.
Brian takes us to Mount Washington, New Hampshire. It's one spot where the weather really can be extreme.
They have a guide rope, too, that they use during whiteout conditions. They hold onto that rope so they won't get disoriented.
That and more coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the netcast that's all about the weather, put on by the folks with the Weather Company in Birmingham. I'm one of those folks, or more correctly, a weather geek, David Black, saying thank you for joining us. Glad you're with us. Also with us on this netcast is James Spann, lead meteorologist, ABC 3340 Birmingham. Mr. Spann, how are you this time around?
David, I'm just great. Love this time of the year, and I'm having a great evening.
I'm glad to hear that. We have some other weather geeks with us as well in the form of J.B. Elliott. Hello, J.B. What do you know?
I know that I enjoyed seeing that moon rise again tonight. The harvest moon just came up as I drove in a few minutes ago. It's just absolutely blows my mind. It's so pretty.
It was fabulous to look at. Really was. And we'll talk some more about that in a second. But let's say hello as well to Brian Peters. Brian, are you being good? What do you know?
Oh, gosh, you're going to handicap me already being good? Well, I don't know. I had a great weekend. I got the chauffeur J.B. Elliott around.
Oh, and, that's right. You guys did your Mount Cheeha trek?
Oh, yes, to the Talk Weather Forum picnic.
Everybody was good? Nobody got arrested, anything like that?
Nobody got arrested, and Bill Murray is about to join us, and I want to tell Bill Murray he verified his perfect weather warning for both Saturday, Sunday, and as far as I'm concerned, today, too.
Absolutely. Bill Murray, a voice we haven't heard in a while. Welcome back. How are you?
I know. It seems like my excuse every week has been that I've been entertaining every Monday night, so I made sure that all the entertaining tonight was done by 8:30 so I could be here.
Well, we're glad. For folks who don't know, you are in the hotel... Well, I was going to say management, but your ownership as well, just in the hospitality industry, big time. And you are traveling around the country constantly still, aren't you?
Yes, we're actually down here in Gulf Shores, Alabama tonight, one of my favorite places on the planet, and trying to do a project down here. So, I'm very excited about that.
I think he's down there for that shrimp festival. That's the deal.
It is coming this weekend, Mr. Spann. There's no question about it.
James, can you pull up the Gulf Shores webcam and kind of check on him and see what he's doing?
I'll tell you, we actually pulled it up on the news this evening, and they're setting up for the shrimp festival. The big part of that's right there at the public beach.
Right next door to it, that's right.
Yeah, right by the sky cam there.
And what did James Spann focus on? The corn dog stand, for gosh sakes. Shrimp festival.
Well, look, the festival doesn't start until Friday, so it's a little early, but I thought it was cool that the corn dog truck is already down there. So, you know, you have to wait till the weekend for the shrimp.
We spent a lot of time under that building there, you know, for both Hurricane Dennis and Hurricane Katrina last year, you know, down here when we were here, and you know, it brought back some memories.
He's going to give us a spectacular view of that festival, David. For those that don't know, the Skycam is on top of the Phoenix All Suites, which is adjacent to the public beach. So we've got those images on the web. You can see the still images and the weather conditions on the 3340 side. We're going to get a great view of that shrimp festival.
I'm embarrassed.
And the pink pony.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say this as much as of a seafood fan as I am. I've never been to the Gulf Shores Shrimp Festival. Is that just a big blowout pig out on shrimp?
It really is.
300,000 people expected this weekend, David.
Wow.
300,000.
Man.
That's a lot of folks.
It's got to be a lot of shrimp.
Shoot, forget global warming and the rising of the ocean. The whole land's going to sink with all that weight.
I'll bet it's delicious. Well, speaking of delicious, we've had some delicious weather over the weekend. You guys were talking about the fabulous weekend. If we could just copy what we experienced Sunday around here, I'd be a happy camper.
The sky was so blue up on Mount Cheha, it looked purple, and it looked like you could see for 500 miles. Of course, you couldn't, but It was just excellent visibility. It was just
I want to hear about this Mount Cheeha thing, JB. What did you guys do up there?
There were about 40 or 45 weather geeks off the weather forum that were up there. They had their annual picnic, and they had so much food that only a third of it at the most was eaten. And I didn't have much, but a lot of people really had fun eating. And then they went out to the Western Overlook.
Bald Rock.
Bald Rock.
We didn't hike out to Bald Rock. We had to come back. So.
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds nice. It sounds as if we have some big changes coming up in the weather for central Alabama the next few days. What, rain, dry? What's going on?
Yeah, it's going to turn pretty chilly by the end of the week, David. In fact, I'm sitting here watching as we do this podcast or netcast, whatever it is these days. I'm watching the Monday night football game, which is in Denver, and they've got rain and 37 degrees out there. Mm. It is miserable, and that's a sign that we're getting deeper into the fall season, and really a nice air mass will get down in here by Friday and Saturday. Looks like Saturday morning will be the coolest morning with most spots in the low 40s, but I really think we're going to get some reports from places like Valley Head where they'll be in the 30s with scattered frost on the pumpkin for the first time this year, so that'll be exciting.
Outstanding. Let me ask you something, James. You mentioned Monday Night Football. This is the first season. It's not on ABC. Do you miss it?
No.
I didn't think you would. You had a few nights where you got it in bed at, what, 12:30 when a game ran over?
Monday nights, I don't know what it is. Most weeks, we just you'd lose 1 hour of sleep, but something about that just fouled up the whole week for my internal clock. And some nights, we get on after midnight. I think out of all of the years we waited on Monday Night Football, back in the early 90s, we got on the air one night at 12:45 a.m.
Ouch.
And the news got over at, 1:15 a.m. I got home at 1:45 a.m. and might as well just, had breakfast and stayed up for the radio shift. So I like football, but I'm glad it's on ESPN now.
All right. Well,
hey, James, you're talking about the weather changes coming our way. I got a text message from my daughter who's in Chicago, and she said, take a look at the forecast. Flurries are in the forecast for Chicago for Thursday.
Wow.
I'd believe it. The thickness values are about as low as you'll ever see them for mid-October. So for our buddies up in the upper Midwest that happen to be listening to this in the northern part of the country, their growing season will be over as of late this week.
So when are we going to have a Weather Brains outlook for winter for north and central Alabama?
Next spring.
Yeah.
It ought to be pretty accurate at that point.
Hindsight's always perfect.
Bill Murray will call it. He'll probably nail it right on the head. He does that a lot.
Exactly.
Now, I got to give Bill a lot of credit for his perfect weather warning for this weekend. I tell you, I don't think you could really ask for anything better. So.
It's nice to live in the South at times like that, I tell you what.
Oh, it certainly is. But you know something, David? If you ever find yourself grumbling about having to scrape ice off your car's windshield during a cold winter morning, and of course we've got some chilly air on the way, imagine having a job where you have to scrape off ice in 180-mile-an-hour wind.
Ouch.
Ouch. It's part of the job if you work atop Mount Washington in the Presidential Range in New Hampshire during the winter. At 6,288 feet, Mount Washington is a weather geek's delight. I was actually born in the shadow of Mount Washington, which is probably why I became a meteorologist. It's home to some of the most extreme weather that you'll find anywhere on the planet, including the highest wind speed ever recorded by surface wind equipment. Hurricane force winds are common, and snow has been reported every month of the year on Mount Washington.
Amazing.
In a Weather Brains Extra, we're going to take you to Mount Washington's Weather Observatory, where daily observations have been taken since 1932. Scott Henley is executive director at the observatory. He says this is one place where you really have to be prepared for dangerously extreme weather.
It can get pretty cold up here. It's a relatively small mountain in the grand scheme of things. We're only at about 6,288 feet above sea level, so it pales in comparison to some of the peaks of the Rocky Mountains out west. But we do get our fair share of extreme weather, and really extreme bitter cold is certainly part of that.
What is Mount Washington's biggest claim to fame?
Well, we're pretty proud to say that our biggest claim to fame here at the Mount Washington Observatory is that in 1934, the fastest wind speed ever recorded by a surface station was clocked by our staff, and it was 231 miles per hour, if you can imagine that. And it was done in a building that was a little wooden shack held down by chains and secured to the mountaintop. And there were real people in there doing it. They had to go out and de-ice the instruments in about 180 mile an hour winds. And I recently read one of the stories from that event, and the gentleman, Wendell Stevenson, who actually did some of the work up there, went out into this incredible storm with a wooden club to try to de-ice the instruments, and got a couple good whacks at it and lost the club, blew off into the distance, and but he did just enough so that they could record that amazing world record wind.
That is amazing. Having been through a couple of hurricanes myself, 231 is at least double what I've ever been through, so that is absolutely amazing. Well, I know that Mount Washington has a very rich history. When was the first climber, or when did somebody actually reach the top of Mount Washington?
Oh, gosh, that goes all the way back to the late 1600s when the first expedition led by Darby Field made its way to the summit. But before that, Native Americans in our area held it as a place, as a very special place. In fact, the Indian name for the mountain was Agiokuchuk, and that actually means Great White Spirit. And so from even going back, you know, thousands of years, it's been a special place, and it continues to be that way, except now for tourists and skiers and hikers and fans of, the Cog Railway and so forth. It's a pretty amazing place.
It certainly sounds like it. And of course, I'm familiar with Mount Washington, having been born in the shadow of it up there. But one of the things that I remember, and I think you'll probably attest to this, is that the weather changes a lot, but up there, it can change very rapidly.
Yeah, very, very, very true. In fact, this morning, when our summit crew was delivering its daily weather reports on local radio here, the humidity went from 100% to 52% almost instantly, just because of being in and out of the clouds. As storms move in, it could go from a beautiful, sunny fall day, and then as the storm moves in, it could make for extremely hazardous conditions. The temperature could drop. We could see rain and then hail and snow. The winds whip up, and, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we had a pretty extreme situation on Mount Washington where we had some snow overnight, and there was a group of hikers from Quebec that were that really made a bunch of poor choices and ended up out hiking on Mount Washington in really severe conditions and ended up having to be rescued and brought down the mountain because of those extremes that just kind of, you know, they're predictable. And if you go into a hiking trip, educated and prepared, you can handle it. But if you don't take all the precautions, you could put yourself in a pretty precarious situation, as they did.
Well, I can see with the weather changing as rapidly as it would on top of Mount Washington, that's a real challenge for hikers to plan for that and plan for any eventualities that might occur.
We've had snow every month of the year on Mount Washington, so even in the heat of August, it could be 70 degrees down at the base, and then you go up, up above tree line in some of the subarctic tundra up there, and you're exposed, and the wind is a lot stronger than the valley, and the temperature could be 25, 30 degrees lower on the summit than it is down in the valley.
Oh, I do recall seeing Mount Washington from a distance, and it always looks so beautiful. Well, on a beautiful day, how far can you see? What's the visibility like?
You could see about 140 miles, 150 miles from the summit, and that's all the way over Vermont into the Adirondacks of New Hampshire. Of New York. You can also see the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. You can see the tiny little lighthouses along the coast of Maine, sparkling in the night. It's a really amazing thing. And when the sun rises over the Atlantic, it reflects off the ocean and really makes for a spectacular scene. When the sun sets over the Adirondacks, it's one of those things that you got to do. You got to somehow come up to Mount Washington and get a sunrise or a sunset up there. It's just, it's truly remarkable.
Sounds like it. You mentioned a moment ago that you had fog. How on Mount Washington can you distinguish between whether you're in the fog or you're in the clouds?
It's perspective. When you're in the clouds, that's basically fog. In fact, when you get fog down at sea level, you're basically in a cloud. Just on Mount Washington, it's a unique thing because we're so high up compared to the valley floor that, you know, as air masses come through and as systems come through, you know, just so happens that we're in the way. And so the clouds sort of envelop the mountain and give us lots and lots of fog. One of the best conditions, one of the most unique conditions you can get while on the top of Mount Washington is what's called undercast. And if you can imagine, you know, down where you are, you know, a typical sort of overcast day is just a whole bunch of gray. But on an undercast day on Mount Washington, you're looking down from the summit onto the top of a lower level of clouds. And so it's unbelievable. You see all the mountain peaks of the White Mountains all around poking out of the undercast, and it really makes for a spectacular scene.
Oh, yes, your Mount Washington Observatory website has some absolutely fabulous photographs, and undercast is one of the things, even in Alabama and the southeastern U.S., we sometimes can see that when we're on some of the higher points, but it certainly is not as dramatic as the photos I've seen up there. You touched on the highest wind speed and the difficulties of trying to keep the instrumentation from freezing up. How do you keep your instruments both in place from being blown away with wind speeds that you have and keep them calibrated accurately?
Lots of duct tape, actually. No. As you can imagine, the building, which is owned by Mount Washington State Park and the State Park System in New Hampshire, the building is concrete. And the windows are bulletproof glass. The observatory tower is as solid as you can imagine, and then the instrumentation up there is built especially for Mount Washington, so that it is as robust and rugged as could possibly be. We've done a great job of ruining a whole bunch of instruments, don't get me wrong. In fact, we do a lot of product testing for companies. We're doing one right now for a company from Germany testing a special anemometer. And like I said, that Mount Washington is not kind to instruments. but for that very reason, though, it's a great destination for product testing. L.L. Bean is one of our corporate sponsors, and they're our official outfitter. They use our staff and our location to test a whole bunch of products, from tents to see how they perform in extreme weather, to the gear that our staff wears. And, you know, I like to think that we've had a hand in L.L. Bean improving their extreme weather gear over the course of the 5 years we've been involved with them.
Well, that brings us to another topic. We've talked about the instruments, but what about the observers? How do they handle the extreme conditions on Mount Washington?
You know, they love it. And I'll stop by saying that. We have a staff of four observers. At any given time, we have an observer on duty. Our crew works 1 week on, 1 week off. They do 12-hour shifts, and so we have it covered round the clock every day of the year. And these folks are passionate. They're young and enthusiastic. Most times, recent college graduates. So this is their first stop after college on a career path that will take them into a whole bunch of different areas of meteorology. But you know, it's amazing because in wintertime you're marooned on top of a mountaintop. There is no way to just leave and head down and go grab a pizza. You're up there on top of the highest peak in the northeastern U.S. and the only way up and down is by a 12 passenger Bombardier snow tractor. So just the uniqueness and the remoteness of it makes it just such an amazing experience for them. And so, you know, and I think everybody from top to bottom, from the summit crew to our research crew, education staff, we're all weather geeks, and we all have the same passion for it. And so you know, they really enjoy what they do.
That certainly makes the commute rather interesting, doesn't it?
Well, in the summertime, it's an amazing place because a quarter of a million people visit the summit of Mount Washington each year, and most of it comes in the summer because there's a toll road, the Mount Washington Auto Road, that winds up the mountain. There's also the Cog Railway. There's a number of trails and for hikers, and so you get a good mix of people up there. In the wintertime, it's incredibly inaccessible. So what could be a 25-minute car ride in summer could be as much as a 4-hour snow tractor ride in really adverse conditions to go those 8 miles.
Well, that's very interesting, considering that the record snowfall in Birmingham is back in 1993, and we had 13 inches of snow, and that paralyzed the city for at least a week. Certainly have much more extreme conditions on Mount Washington, Scott.
Well, our maximum, our record snowfall is 566 inches of snow back in 1968-69.
Holy mackerel. Well, with that note, we'll let you get back to your duties as executive director up there, and we certainly appreciate you chatting with us, Scott. Any final words?
Hey, just if you want to check out real-time conditions on Mount Washington, stop by our website so you can look at pictures and current conditions, and that's mountwashington.org, all spelled out, M-O-U-N-T, washington.org. And I thank you for the opportunity. Good talking to you.
Nice talking with you, Scott.
Take care.
You too.
So some very interesting extremes, 231 miles an hour in the wind, 566 inches. And
wow.
Then I noticed this morning that this is not as dramatic an extreme, and yet, in a way, it's a rather dramatic extreme. Humidity dipped to a low of 1.4% early this morning up on top of Mount Washington.
That is a good day to hang out to wash.
That's living
amazing.
In the southeast U.S., can you imagine a humidity that low?
What a neat place. Let me ask you something. He said 150 miles visibility from the summit. Is that right?
That's right.
So, by contrast, how far can you see on a good day from Mount Cheeha?
I don't know. JB, it was a good day on Saturday. What would you say?
I believe the visibility. I believe the visibility Saturday was 80 or 90 miles, and of course you can't see that far because of the curvature of the Earth. If we had some higher peaks off in the distance to look at, I believe there are days that you could see them 100 miles away.
Well,
that's rare.
I want to go to this place. How many times have you been up there, Ryan?
To be honest with you, unfortunately, I've never actually been to the summit.
Oh.
I lived for nearly 10 years in the shadow of it, but never actually went to the top. It's something I would like to do.
David, have you been to Mount Cheeha?
Fascinating place.
Cheeha I've been up to. That's a wonderful place. But I tell you what, Mount Washington sounds fascinating. Bill Murray, I'm willing to bet with all of your worldly travels, travels across the country anyway, maybe have you been up in the Mount Washington area?
Never. I need to take an opportunity to do that because I thought it was interesting that that our guest said, you know, the people that work up there really love working up there. It would have to be a place
yeah.
that you wanted to work at for sure.
Well, and you're going to be stranded up there for a little while, too, in the winter months. It sounds like you don't just head off the mountain at the end of an 8-hour shift.
As a matter of fact, Scott said they work, I believe he said, 10 days or 2 weeks. They're on, and they work 12-hour shifts. So there's an observer on duty all the time up there. So
what an amazing place. I think it would be really kind of now this is just me thinking here of be really kind of Mr. Spann to load us all into the Storm Chaser, and we go up there and do a Weather Brains show from up on the summit. Just a thought.
No problem. I got that to handle here. And by the way, don't you know those guys would find it laughable down here whenever we mention snow flurries and everybody goes to the store panicking, buying, 3 weeks worth of milk and bread, where these guys have had, 500 inches from a snowstorm up there. So.
Blizzard means nothing to those folks, does it?
They'd get a good chuckle out of our snow reaction down here.
They would.
Well, good job, Brian. I enjoyed that. That was fun.
And we, before we started the interview, mentioned to Scott, we'd like to have him back again. And I'm thinking maybe sometime this winter, January, February time frame, we may call him back again and talk to him about the conditions up there. But it's just an amazing place. And I hope that they can continue to operate because of the need to, you know, continue that surface observation up there and the, have the consistency of weather data. So,
and I've looked just real briefly at their website, and they have a lot of history. It's a very interesting history behind the mountain. And the site again, Brian, mountwashington.org, is that correct?
Correct, correct.
Okay.
And, you know, if you go into some of their, if you go to that website, there is some wonderful historical information. And they've even got an old, I think it's like a drawing of the original observatory up there. And just as Scott mentioned, I already had seen that it was tied. It was a wooden structure, but it was tied to the top of the mountain with chains that were, you know, thrown over the roof and then, you know, anchored in to keep the building from blowing away. And I thought it was so cool. Bulletproof glass. I mean, mm-hmm. And it's not because people are shooting up there. It's because of those wind.
I was wondering how you would keep yourself from being blown off the top in some of those winds.
Well, when we were chatting before we started taping, he did say that it becomes a real challenge, shall we say, mm-hmm. to be able to go out and take some of the observations when the wind is blowing quite strongly. So
they have a guide rope too that they use during whiteout conditions. They hold onto that rope so they won't get disoriented.
Yes, and they can have some fantastic whiteouts. I mean, you know, what's a fantastic whiteout? You know, when it's whiteout, it's whiteout. It's just you know, conditions we just really have no firsthand experience with down here in the southeastern U.S. So,
and for our listeners, whiteout conditions, you can get turned completely around easily.
Well, you lose complete orientation.
Well, I know what this is starting now, James, and you guys are going to have to be ready because people are going to be hounding you about winter forecasts and what's it going to be like. And you know that old game, and I'm sure it's just next to impossible to make any kind of a call way into the winter, even, you know, a few weeks, not to mention a few months.
Well, I call anything beyond 7 days voodoo land because it's all voodoo and hocus pocus. There's no skill, but there's some thoughts. I made a fairly long blog post on the winter season, and maybe we can talk about that next week, David. There's a lot of considerations here. I mentioned about 5 or 6 points, and of course, the bottom line is nobody knows. We'll find out when it gets here, but the one glaring thing that just hits me in the face every year, we are statistically overdue for an ice storm here. Mm-hmm. Haven't had one, a big one, in the Birmingham market since 1982, and the last time I checked, this is 2006, so for us to go that many years without an ice storm is kind of spooky. So, in fact, I think you were at 13 with me when that last one happened, or maybe you got there just after that. It was 82.
82 I missed. I okay. joined in 82, but I missed it by not too far, but I sure heard some amazing stories.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had to close. You know, we were up that mountain for 5 days, and the week after that, they had to truck us in there with these vans with reinforced roofs because of ice falling off the towers. So we'll talk about that more length next week. There's a lot of thoughts on that.
And I was stranded at the Weather Service.
I'm about to say J.B. Elliott was hung up in that thing, too, I think. Weren't you, J.B.?
Yeah.
And not to completely jump into winter, but it is October, and we're not out of hurricane season. Dr. William Gray, just a week or so back, again revised the Atlantic outlook.
That he did.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, David, but I'm pretty sure he just pretty much said that the season is all but over for major hurricanes. So he kind of called off the dogs there.
Interesting.
I thought it was interesting, an article that I read in the last couple of days, that now the insurance company is blaming forecasters for them losing $6 billion in some sort of insurance futures because the predictions were for a large number of hurricanes this season. I just assume blame it all on global warming.
Sure.
You're danged if you do and danged if you don't. Of course, you know, we know in a winter situation that television meteorologists and the food grocery stores have, well, certain connections.
Hey, man, I'll take cash, check, or money order, or credit cards. For a good snow scare. You know, actually, those guys don't really come out ahead. I have had long talks with these people.
You're talking about the grocers?
Yes. I'm talking about the major supermarket chains here. And they say, yeah, we get this big business, this big rush before a snow scare. And then for the next week, nobody comes in. So it says really...
That's because they're all stocked up.
Yeah, they've got everything they need, and they just don't come back. So if you balance it out, they say they actually come out a little, you know, behind on the revenue for a snow scare. So it's great for the, you know, for the days leading up to it, but after it's over, nobody goes back to the store for a while.
Here's you a couple of observations from Colorado, David. At 7 o'clock Mountain Time, one of JB's favorite places, Wolf Creek Pass, 1/2 mile snow, 36 degrees, and over at Monarch Pass, heavy snow, 1/4 mile visibility, 34 degrees. So, signs of the times.
Wow, I almost lost my life on Wolf Creek Pass. I'll always remember that place.
What'd you do, JB?
Tried to go over during a blizzard without snow chains. And made it within 4 miles of the top and could not go any further late at night at 11 p.m. And we were in a 57 Chevrolet. And I put my cousin behind the wheel, and my other cousin and I got out and grabbed the back bumper and actually walked the car around 180 degrees and slowly eased back down the side of the mountain. We could have plunged off that deep ravine at any moment.
And they'd have never found you, Debbie.
Now I know why JB kept saying as we were going up to Mount Cheehaw, oh my gosh, if we fall over here, they'll never find us.
Yeah. They wouldn't find us until the end of time.
You guys are sick. Sick puppies.
I'm just geeks.
Yeah, you're all a bunch of weather geeks.
All weather geeks are sick.
Fair enough. Well,
and semi-crazy.
On that note, if there's nothing further, we'll let folks know that there is a way to contact these terminal weather geeks if you so desire. If you want to take that risk, it's your decision. Our telephone line, if you'd like to leave voicemail, is 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482. If you want to shoot an email our direction, the address is question@weatherbrains.com. Send it on. We'd love to hear from you. A reminder that the opinions you hear expressed by all of these weather geeks are not necessarily those of ABC 3340. I am David Black on behalf of the Weather Company, thanking you for listening to this edition of Weather Brains. We hope you can join us again next time for the next Weather Brains, when who knows what'll happen. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. Adios. All right, guys, that was fun. JB, glad you made it down the mountain, man.
They get better and better and better.
Nice sounding audio here. Good show.
Well, thank you, gents. Bill Murray, glad you could be on board this time.
I was so excited.
Down there in Gulf Shores, eating all that shrimp. Don't feel guilty.
Shrimp.
Don't feel guilty.
Yikes.
Man.
Tough job. All right, you guys.
See you, boys. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.